Hey everyone, Sam Brief here with the Fresh Chi State pod for you, and I'm really excited to bring on a longtime Chicago State Cougar and someone who's one of the most decorated cross-country runners in Cougar history, and that's Jonathan Fernandez, who went to high school right here in Chicago, product of Von Steuben High, and now as a Cougar, he's blazing a trail, and that came to a head this fall when he went to the NCAA Midwest Regional and logged the third fastest 10K time in school history. That was just a few weeks after the WAC tournament down in Riverside, California, the second best 8K time in school history. So this is a record-breaking runner and someone who's lifted Chicago State cross country for quite some time now. So Jonathan Fernandez, today's guest on the Chi State pod, and just a great guy to talk to, a computer science major, someone with his sights set on the technology world and the running world. So excited for you to get to know Jonathan. But before we do, a reminder that our partners at BSN Sports are the largest providers of team sports equipment and apparel in the country. And they'd like to thank all the coaches out there who truly are the heart of the game. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives. And that's the real final score. So learn more about how BSN Sports can save you time off the field by giving you more time to impact lives on it. Go ahead and call your local BSN Sports sales pro or visit bsnsports.com today. And now here's Jonathan. Tell me why you love running.
When I first started running back in the summer around like 2012, I remember just doing about 2 miles from Kimball and Foster all the way to Pulaski. And I remember just being kind of like, not really exhausted, but I'm like, damn, that was kind of like a work, like not really a workout, but that was kind of a lot. But now, like, now I'm doing it again. But in retrospect, I'm just kind of doing about like 20 miles, like on a weekend.
20 miles, that seems casual to you. To me, it seems like a lot. And to most people, it seems like a lot. I'm curious, when you got started at Von Steuben and you're in this 13-year-old age range, what would a long run look like to the Jonathan Fernandez of that time?
Somewhere around, I'd say, 7 to 10 miles.
And now what's a long run?
Anything higher than 21 miles in a single sitting.
So you've really changed the standard, and this is something that takes a lot of time. I mean, these runs, these practice runs, I know your schedule, it can take hours at a time. So you really have to love it. I'm curious what you feel while you are running, while you're moving the feet, pounding the pavement. What's going on up there?
When I'm at Oak Park, where I do my long runs, I go from Oak Park almost to, where is it? I'd say maybe I go really west. Like I go about 10 miles west and then 10 miles back to Oak Park. So when I'm just doing like those long runs, I just feel a sense of freedom for a bit, because there's like a lot of stuff going on in my life, like school, with classes, work. It's just a little liberating to be able to just take some time and enjoy myself.
Liberation, freedom. Jonathan, yeah. I'm a runner too, much lower level than you, yeah, because I'm not a student athlete and I run about 3 miles at a time, which for you is like a walk around the park. I can so relate though. Part of what I love about it is with all the distractions of the modern day, right? We're always on our phones. We're always on our computers. Well, when you're on a run, you can't be texting, right? I mean, I'm sure you could figure out a way to do it, but you can't be on your computer. You can't be answering email. And if you're listening to something engaging, or if you're engaged in the moment of running, your mind might not wander to all the places that are stressors in your life. So that's why I love it. And it sounds like it's really similar for you, even though you're competing so hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of the competition, Jonathan, you competed not only hard, but well this year in the fall, going back to the WAC championships when you earned a berth at the NCAA Midwest Regional. I want to take you back to that moment. Riverside, California, WAC Championships. You logged one of the best times in school history. What do you remember the most about your performance at the conference championship?
I remember being a little disappointed in my time because I was trying to like break 25 minutes for the 8K. And I was pretty happy getting 26, like 40 or somewhere around that time, getting the school record there. And and I remember seeing like some of my friends who were at the D1 level kind of running, going like 26 tens, 26 thirties. And I was like, I want to like do that. I want to be at that level. And then I kind of like took a detour at Malcolm X, and everybody kind of like knows the infamous story of how well like everything around that school went. So yeah, then came here to Chicago State, kind of trained myself like as best I could since nothing against Craig Collins, but like Craig Collins like told me like, okay, I know you've trained yourself in those months you were at community college because they only had cross country and not track. So he was telling me what are some workouts you can recommend that I could give to the cross country team? And this was before I was redshirted. So we would just be talking, just kind of like giving each other notes on like workouts, saying what's good and what needs improvement or what should just be omitted, added, that sort of stuff. So yeah, I kind of just had a bit of a background, like knowing how to like train myself, get like well adjusted to doing what I'm doing, because being independent, that's the word I'm looking for.
Take me to the moment when you arrived at the NCAA Midwest Regional in the fall. What did it feel like for you to know you were competing at a high level there?
It kind of felt like it was a culmination of all my tests, my trials, all the hard work that I put into running at the collegiate level. And it was like not really a right, but like it was like a pleasure like to be able to be there with a bunch of D1 like schools that I knew, seeing some of my friends like that I knew when I was a freshman who were still in college because he took a year off because of COVID. I mean, obviously I couldn't really keep up with them, but I still tried the best that I can doing the 10K.
How'd you feel about the performance?
There was a lot of good competition. I remember that at some points it was like the best, like it was kind of snowing a bit. It was really cold, but I still tried to like keep my morale high because I was the only one from Chicago State, like just there. Not everything's going to go the way like I hope, but I'm still going to like put in like the best effort that I can, depending on how I'm feeling that day, because not every race is going to be the best race in your life. I mean, you obviously got to have a few losses every once in a while.
Absolutely. That's life advice right there, right? You're going to have losses every once in a while. Not every race can be your best. I mean, no runner in human history has ever set a personal best time every time they've gone out. That'd be pretty incredible. That'd be a robot. Jonathan, your story really starts with the very beginning, your family. Could you take me back to your early beginnings and the story of how your family came to Chicago?
They came in through the Mexico-California border.
And they were coming from Ecuador, correct?
Yeah, from Ecuador. I mean, the journey was like, I remember them telling me that the journey was long. It was kind of difficult because people either get like abducted, robbed, like all sorts of bad stuff come, like, especially around, like, I believe it's Guatemala, like, the part that connects from Mexico to Guatemala, like a bunch of stuff just happens. So they were pretty much happy that they were able to bring like me and my sister home to the U.S. And we, like, my parents already had family in Chicago, so that was like the best place to be able to go, like live for us. So we went to Chicago. We kind of just started life here. Well, I grew up around like the north side of Chicago, but not really like north, but somewhere around the Albany Park area. Then we kind of moved a little bit west of Albany Park, and yeah, we stayed in like Albany Park for, let me see, the majority of my life. I'd say about 16 years.
And you're a Chicagoan now. You spent only the first 6 months of your life in Ecuador, right?
Yeah, I fall into the DACA category. So, if for whatever reason I leave the U.S., there's no way for me to come back. So I gotta either wait for citizenship or marry into someone who has U.S. citizenship.
I know there's a lot with being of DACA status. You and I have talked about it at length before. But Jonathan, what's something that an outside listener might not realize about your day-to-day life as a result of being a DACA student that you have to deal with?
On a day to day, I'd probably say like not really getting any like benefits from the government, because people just assume that, oh, this person like who has DACA has every right that a U.S. citizen would. It's not really the case though, because when you're DACA, you gotta pay like a work you gotta pay a work permit every 2 years. I know for me it costs about like $1,000 every 2 years, so that's on average $500 every year just to be able to work in the US and stay in the US. We still gotta pay taxes, but as I said, like we don't really like when the pandemic started, we didn't really get any aid from the government because we're DACA, like, that's kind of our status. So it was like we were more or less on our own when the pandemic first hit. So that's kind of like something that people don't really seem to realize, because when people look at me, they're like, oh, like it works. He probably like he must have it easy, but that's not my reality though. It's a little complicated all the time. Especially best example I could use in my life is probably a like FAFSA. It's FAFSA and college, because when I was a senior in high school, yeah, senior high school, I was remembering that like I was trying to like look for money and aid, but it took me not really a while to realize it, but kind of understand that not every school is gonna be able to financially help me because of my DACA status, because I don't really have a sheet of paper that says I'm a U.S. citizen. So getting funds, my early college years was really tough, because I was pretty much on my own when it came for me to pay for college, because I couldn't really ask my parents for help, not because like they weren't willing to help me, but I kind of just had to understand and grow into the responsibilities of having to, be independent and like having to pay for my own things rather than just relying on my parents for the rest of my life. I mean, as nice as that would be, I know that you gotta grow up sometime. So that was kind of like one of the difficulties. That's kind of like one of the difficulties in my life about being part of DACA.
You mentioned your parents, and Jonathan, I know you actually have turned that around, right? You work and you go to great lengths to support the rest of your family.
Yeah.
Why is that?
So this is kind of like something that like it's kind of not really something personal in my family, but I remember when I was young, like my dad would tell me how my grandpa especially was, it's kind of those old school people where they think as soon as you're able to work like at in your country, because I believe in my country, it's probably like maybe 10 years old, you're legally allowed to work. That's kind of at the point where you gotta just do your part and kind of put your like foot in the door. And I know my parents already asked me to do this, especially because they understand that college is expensive. You gotta be able to balance your responsibilities. You gotta be able to like go to school, like get a job, like even being a student athlete too, it's a little difficult to be able to like at times even have a job, because your job is going to be like, okay, can you be here like Friday around 3 o'clock, and some days I'd be like, I can't because I'm going to this place for a track or cross country race. And they're like, well, nice talking to you.
What do you mean, nice talking to you?
Like, they're like, okay, you're not a good fit.
For employment.
You're not independent. Right. Yeah. You're not really going to be a reliant employee here. So, you know, just kind of move on to the next candidate.
What sort of work have you been doing?
So I remember my early years when I was in, before I started Robert Morris, I was kind of like a personal assistant at a real estate job. That was my job from late May until I'd say early November. It kind of got a little tough being able to go to the north side of Chicago because Robert Morris was located almost in the center of downtown. And let's see, I remember having to take the brown line the green line all the way to Laramie and then like get in my car and then drive all the way to around the Irving Park neighborhood. It kind of just got a little difficult because I had homework, I had practice, and
again, the life of a student athlete.
Yeah.
So Jonathan, your major is computer science. You might want to work in cybersecurity. That fascinates me. Why are you into that?
Kind of going back, I don't know, I feel like my life pretty much started when I was around 12 or 13, because I remember when my parents first bought me a Wii, because I was kind of like, that was the craze back in the day. It was either PlayStation 4 or Xbox or Wii. I remember after constantly nagging my parents, hey, I want a Wii, they finally got me a Wii, and it came with Mario Kart. And I remember as soon as, or any time whenever we had a stable internet connection, because this was before 4G, we had those things where like you either dial-ins. There we go. The dial-in features, mm-hmm. where you could either make a call or access the internet, but you couldn't do both. And anytime whenever my parents weren't in the call, I would just switch it to the Wi-Fi mode and kind of just go online. Race against other players. And I remember when I started doing that, like the first time around, I was wild, because I remember there were hackers in the game. Like they were just like spawning items from nowhere, like teleporting, going through me, above me. It was just wild. And I was just hearing how can I do this? Or how is this possible? So I remember just doing a bit of research, and then I was able to implement whatever they did onto myself. So I was kind of like one of those people who was hacking in Mario Kart when Mario Kart Wii was a thing.
Early computer science for you.
Yeah.
Jonathan, if you had to distill a career goal for you, is that something you've got your mind on yet?
I don't know if I want to be in the cybersecurity or if I want to be a coder, because I'm not really specific on like one thing, because one of the things that I learned at Robert Morris is that you got to study all aspects of computer science, like not just gravitate to one thing, like be like, oh, I have a Mac and then that's it, but you never use Windows, or be like, oh, I have like an Android but never use an iPhone. I don't know, those are kind of one of the lessons that kind of stuck with me when I was starting computer science my first year of college, because I'm usually like always modding stuff, like I said, because I also modded my phone to get rid of YouTube ads, so I kind of just implemented a anti-tracking on me, because I don't want to just look up one thing and then that's all it appears for like next 2 weeks.
You can't stop running. You can't stop making your world a better place through technology. Jonathan Fernandez, an absolute dynamo. How do you feel about finishing out with a lightning round?
Let's go for it.
I know you and I have done a couple of these over the years. So you ready to dive in? We go rapid fire here.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. 3, 2, 1. What's better, cake or pie?
Pie.
What's the best junk food?
Chips.
What's the best type of bread?
Whole wheat.
Pick a seat on the plane, window, middle, or aisle?
Aisle.
What zoo animal makes the best pet?
Wolverine.
What superpower you want?
Teleportation.
Hey, you can already do that. You run fast. Hey, what do you put on your hot dogs?
I don't eat hot dogs.
What do you put on your hamburger?
Everything except pickles and black olives.
Last thing, what is your dream car?
I don't have a dream car. I don't know. It's that's just me though. I'm not really that kind of, like, I'm not really the kind of guy who has that sort of thing.
How about this? How about it's your legs because you run fast?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. My legs are my dream car.
Legs are his dream car. Jonathan Fernandez. Good lightning round. You don't like pickles though?
No, my brother loves pickles though.
All right. Well, all your pickles go to him. If you were a real good brother, you'd say, I want the pickles on the hamburger, and then you would just sneak them over to him. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Hey, big thanks to Jonathan Fernandez, Chicago State senior cross country runner. Catch him while you can. He's always running at 5 a.m. Great, great, great conversation with Jonathan. As always, I'm Sam Brief, host and producer of the Shy State Pod, and you can subscribe. You can rate us, you can like it, review it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you want to listen to the Shy State Pod. Hope you have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the spring and some of the nicer weather here in Chicago or wherever you are. And I'll talk to you next time on the Shy State Pod. Adios from Chicago.